more information or go online to national.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Hour number 3, quitting time on your Wednesday. Russell Barron, Trey at your service. Top 5 at 5, brought to you by our friends at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Come in for a free test drive today. Over 300 vehicles in stock, ranging in price from $1,500 all the way up to $50,000. They're sure to have a vehicle that suits everyone's needs at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Bear, what do you got?
Number one, this just coming down. The Division II President's Council has canceled all 7 fall championships. So we have now Division II and Division III have been canceled for fall 2020, and D1 is still plugging right along.
D1 is the last remaining team, and if that doesn't tell you that it's all about the money, I mean, nothing else does. If the D1 teams did not have these massive TV contracts that the D2, D3 teams obviously do not have, then they would probably be shutting down too, would be my guess. But they do have those TV contracts. They do have those financial obligations, and they are going to try, and God bless them, because we all want to see a little college football. So best of luck to them.
Yeah. Number two, really strange story out of Las Vegas with the Raiders. According to Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, members of the Raiders logged onto a Zoom call last week expecting to see Coach John Gruden. Instead, they were greeted by special teams coach Rich Bisaccia.
Come on, Rich Bisaccia. You can't mispronounce that name. He's been like, he's the ghost of coaching search pasts. He's been linked to Tennessee's coaching staff for almost 20 years now, and I'm not exaggerating. Fulmer tried to hire him.
For the love of God, Smith, can I do one top four at four, top five at five, without you interrupting me right in the middle of one? Wait and then comment. You know how this goes. For God's sakes, man. You call yourself a professional.
It's Rich Bisaccia.
I don't care. You need to go sit in the corner. Where was I?
I don't know.
Rich Bisaccia, who informed the players that Gruden tested positive for COVID-19 and was in the hospital being taken care of. The players were shocked and taken aback before Rich Bisaccia revealed that what he said wasn't actually true, that Gruden and the team just wanted to illustrate to the players that anyone at any moment could contract the coronavirus, and that every player has to stay ready because the pandemic does not discriminate.
Can I comment now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to do. I mean, I feel like, wasn't that in, you know, I feel like we've seen that in movies and TV shows before, where you're trying to teach somebody a lesson, like a valuable lesson. So you tell them something terrible has happened, and you watch the person melt down, like, "Oh my God, my parents are dead!" And they're like, "No, actually, your parents are fine. I was just using that as an example to show you how bad you would feel if you didn't pay more attention to whatever." And then they're like, "Are you serious? Are you freaking serious right now?" I mean, John Gruden and Rich Bisaccia probably thought that was a fantastic idea. I mean, they're like, "Yeah, let's really drill this thing home. We'll say that Gruden is in the hospital, hooked up to a ventilator or something, and that'll really drive the point home for the players." Not a good idea. Messing with people's minds like that, never a good idea.
No, not at all. Number three, we finally, a bit of brighter COVID news, and it just reinforces Russell's theory about how to safely have college football this year. The NBA has extended its streak of spotless coronavirus testing in the Orlando bubble. It is still working. Numbers are still perfect. Of the 343 players tested, since results were announced July 29th, none have been confirmed positive.
The bubble, man. The only way you get sports is with the bubble. And I realize that it's not like the I don't know if you guys have seen the amount of money they're spending on the bubble for the NBA. I don't think they can do that for college because there's so many more players and all that stuff. But I mean, there are things you could do, and you do have those athletic dorms, and they could do this if they really wanted to. And I think that some of the schools, like it sounds like Tennessee is kind of trying to encourage their players to take online classes and encouraging them to not room together and socially distance and everything. But I doubt they're going to the extreme lengths necessary to ensure 100% protection. And the NBA is. They're cruising right along. Major League Baseball is not. They've got Major League problems. We'll see if college football and the NFL learn anything.
I think the thing they can learn, you could do some kind of modified bubble for college sports, and for that matter, for the NFL, that would mitigate it to some degree. So, anyhow, number four in some not-so-good COVID news, the University of Connecticut is the first FBS team to cancel 2020 college football season. They're saying it's amid COVID-19 concerns. I think it has more to do with the fact that they went independent and were having a hard time filling out their schedule.
Well, I think it's both. I mean, obviously, yeah, they're having a hard time finding games. I think they would have been able to do that, but it is COVID-related from the standpoint of the governor of Connecticut has decreed he's one of these two-week quarantine guys. So if you come into Connecticut from an outside state, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. If you leave Connecticut and come back, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So how are you going to play football? Like, you can't – the teams that are visiting Connecticut can't arrive 2 weeks ahead of time and wait for the game while they quarantine. And then the football team can't go play Rutgers in New Jersey, just as an example, and then come back and be expected to wait 2 weeks before they start practicing or playing again. So that's an impossible situation for them.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, let's not act like this is Michigan or, you know, Tennessee or Notre Dame or Alabama canceling their season. I mean, it's just UConn. So, feel bad for the kids, but they still got their scholarships, and they'll be ready to go hopefully next year. Finally, I'm really excited about this one, Russ. Really excited about this one.
Can I guess?
We've got a new world record.
Oh, no, I had no idea.
Okay. Dateline, Pakistan. A 9-year-old girl has broken the Guinness Book of World Records for the periodic table. A 9-year-old science enthusiast in Pakistan broke the world record when she arranged the elements of the periodic table in 2 minutes and 42 seconds. Do either one of you two boobs understand what a periodic table is?
Yes, I do.
It's got hydrogen and oxygen and iridium on it.
All right. So Natalia Najam of Lahore took on the Guinness record for the fastest time to arrange all the elements of the periodic table and beat the previous record by 7 seconds. Previous record was set by Indian economics professor Meenakshi Agarwal, who completed the task in 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Najam says she hopes her accomplishment inspires other children to pursue careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. Congratulations, young lady. And that's your top 5 at 5. Back to you.
Now, do we know if she included element 115 in the periodic table?
The article did not cover that, Russ.
Isn't that you know the one that doesn't exist?
It exists. You guys don't know what element 115 is?
Krypton?
Close. That's the it's the element, and I believe this is actually true. I believe that it is a relatively new element discovered in the 1970s or 80s that has only recently been added to the periodic table of elements, and it is the element that Bob Lazar claims the alien spacecraft that he examined in Area 51 ran on.
For the love of God.
Element 115.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know.
Is that like trying to reverse Area 51, but just without the one or something?
Were you trying to say reverse engineer Area 51?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to do the alien thing right now?
No, I think I didn't really think through what he was saying, Russ. Just move along. Don't embarrass him any further.
Olben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. At Old Ben, they make it easy to get the loan you need regardless of your credit history. All types of credit, from good to bad, can qualify for an auto loan at Old Ben Franklin Motors. No credit, no problem. They'll work with you to secure a no-credit car loan if your situation demands it. OldBenFranklinMotors.com. Shop online. Stop by 9711 Kingston Pike. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Our phone number, you want to jump on board, 865-546-8200. It has been another day of seismic activity in the college football universe. The Big Ten schedule is out. The Big Ten players have formed a unity group, much like the Pac-12, to address concerns. I don't think they had some of the social justice issues that the Pac-12 kids were talking about.
They're just more about the list of,
yeah, their concerns seemed a lot more legitimate, I would say, from what I saw earlier today.
If I were any of these kids are advising, and the first thing I would put on there would be the long-term health care, specifically as it relates to injuries suffered while playing. And then, you know, I would go second for some kind of equitable portion of the massive amount of profits they normally rake in a normal year. That's just me.
The SEC, meanwhile, has not released its schedule yet. We are expecting that to happen before the weekend. So if not today, tomorrow or Friday. And
it will not
I saw
be today.
Where – I'm sorry?
It will not be today.
Okay.
It will be tomorrow or Friday. I've talked to people about that. So, will not be today.
I saw where the VolQuest guys are saying they are hearing more LSU in Baton Rouge, A&M at home talk today for Tennessee.
So we are going to get screwed with our pants on.
Well, I've been telling y'all that. A&M was probably going to be on the schedule.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to mess up next year. So add teams that aren't on your schedule in the next 2 years. So it kind of makes sense, to be honest with you.
Let me ask you guys this. Let's put ourselves in Philip Fulmer's chair, and isn't it a comfortable chair? Let's
well worn.
Let's play some 3D chess, if you will. If you're Philip Fulmer, and look, we expect to take another step in the right direction this year, right? We expect to be a better team. We expect to be improved. But nobody's picking Tennessee to win the East. Nobody's picking Tennessee to go to Atlanta. You know, the odds makers were giving us 8-4 before all this stuff hit. Now it's probably going to be around 5-5. And I know Coach Fulmer and Coach Pruitt are competitive guys. They think they can outdo the expectations. I get all that. But if you're Philip Fulmer and you're looking down the road and you're thinking, you know what, we're going to have to go to Baton Rouge here in a couple of years, whenever that game was scheduled, that Tennessee at Tennessee. We'll get Westchester in here in just a minute. Hang right there, Westchester. I'm sorry, I did forget about you, but Folky reminded, and we're coming right to you. Let me finish this quick thought, which is the LSU game on the road in Baton Rouge is scheduled for 2024, 2025, whatever. We should be, if all goes according to plan, we should be rolling by then, right? There's no more rebuilding at that point. We should be built. We should be built to win. Wouldn't you rather take your trip to Baton Rouge this year? And who knows, maybe you sneak up on them. No fans in the stands. The atmosphere isn't as intimidating. Maybe right. You sneak up on them and win. Worst case scenario, you take your beating this year in a year that nobody predicted you to win the SEC anyway, so who really cares?
Now, then, are they going to, when we, in that scenario, when it gets to 2024, whatever the hell you were talking about, when we were supposed to play them, will that be a home game for us then? Or are they going to make us go to Baton Rouge twice?
Well, I don't think so. I think you would, maybe they move one of the teams that you would play next year back. Maybe you're playing an overmatched Ole Miss team or Mississippi State or somebody at that point. Or maybe they do come. Maybe LSU comes here and we're rocking and rolling and we beat them. I don't know. But there is a part of me that, yeah, we're kind of getting the shaft here. But, A, we kind of deserve it when you think about all the self-inflicted wounds we've created over the last 10 years. And, B, Bear, I don't know that we're going to be that dominant this year anyway.
Well, I mean, we don't deserve it, Russ. You need to get that thought out of your head. We've been getting the short end of the stick over here for a long time now. Not all of it's been self-inflicted.
So. Let's go to the phones. Westchester, thanks for hanging. You're on the drive.
Hey, amazing. I don't even like work for the station. I know how to get my phone off mute on time. Huh. Interesting.
Cheap shot.
I got my finger on the button, Westchester.
Yeah.
Oh, my finger's on the button, big boy. Move it along. Get your call, buddy.
I'll call back. I'll double dip. It's okay. Listen, as far as the schedule goes, you know, Rush, I think you're kind of on something there. Go ahead and take your lick right now as long as you don't have to play them again in 2024 as far as LSU goes. But I hesitate to mention where I heard this, but I'm gonna do it anyway because you guys are our longtime friends and whatever. But Tony Basilio had a really good stat yesterday, and I'm gonna assume you guys didn't hear it, but it's obviously been throughout since 2012, but it has been since like 1992, since Alabama played Florida and Georgia in the regular season. Did you just hear what I said? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Talk about a conference that's avoided the schedules for teams, huh?
Yeah. And, I mean, that's been our life. That's been Tennessee's schedule for 30 years. And this is one of those things. I guarantee you guys that Philip Fulmer has made that point to the SEC offices, the commissioner, the people that are putting this schedule together. It's like, look, I'm sorry that Florida and Alabama have their panties in a wad about having to play each other in the same year and having a tough schedule. But guess what? We've been doing it for 30 years, and we really, aside from the past couple of years of this groundswell to not play Alabama every year, for the most part, we haven't made a peep about it. We enjoy playing this tradition rich schedule.
I definitely agree, though. If you're going to play LSU, let's play them down there this year in a night game with no crowd and not have to go down there in 24. Either play somebody else or play them here, reverse the schedule, something. If we can get out of that game down there in 2024, that's building for the future, and that's a good plan. But I didn't call about football. I called about that ridiculous discussion you guys had before the top of the hour about some bunch of female athletes that were whining about their coach. Was that A&M? Was that what that was?
Texas Tech.
Hey, how many of them do you think you could have played for Pat 20 years ago when when the first thing she told the managers when she rolled into practice was, get the trash cans out, we're going to run them to the puke. I wasn't happy with their game last week or yesterday. Or when she said after they lost the title and made them practice, and she went after they lost the title game, she bought the all the Tennessee championship shirts from that year, and that was their practice jersey for the whole season. How many of them do you think could have played back then? So when you say that that doesn't happen here, and come on. Let's be honest.
I mean, let's be honest. You want to be honest? Let's be honest, Westchester. I mean, Pat Summitt, tough, hard-nosed coach. There's a huge difference between Pat Summitt being a tough, hard-nosed coach and that kind of thing, and putting one of your players' dogs up for adoption, you pinhead. What are you thinking? Can't compare Pat Summitt to that nut down there at Texas Tech.
Oh, because Pat was here, and we love her, and she's beloved, and she's protected.
No, there's a fundamental difference to it, Westchester.
As far as putting your players in danger, no, there's not. Running your players so they vomit in practice continuously.
You're not. Go ahead, Russ.
I'm with Westchester on this one. I'm with Pat Summitt. Pat Summitt, by any sane person's definition of sanity, would qualify as insane. Like some of the things that
she was a great coach because of it. She was ahead of her time, and I don't blame her for it. Let me tell you, I'm not saying that to criticize her. I'm just saying that's how much these generations of kids are coddled these days and don't know what a coach should do. When football coaches can't grab a kid's helmet,
it's being coddled, Westchester. When you don't want to be, you know, sexually assaulted by your strength and conditioning coach, and you don't want your head coach to put your damn pet up for adoption, you're going to compare that to running players until they puke, or, you know, making them wear championship T-shirts they didn't win as a reminder in practice the next year. Get the hell out of here. And you get the hell out of here too, Russ. Both of you. You make me sick.
Bear, I'm just saying, these kids are wusses and they don't know what sports used to be like. When football players lost the ability to grab a face mask, that was the end of sports. See you guys.
You know what I'm saying, Wes? Yeah, get out of here. That's what I'm saying. Get him out of here, Fulkerson. Should have flushed him at the beginning.
Obviously, the strength coach putting his hands on female players is a, you know, that's sick. That guy probably needs to be charged with something if it's really as bad as they made it out to be. And I don't think anything like that happened under Pat's watch. But, I mean, she was – it's like Bobby Knight, you know. When you're in it and you're playing for her or him, it feels borderline abusive. But when you get out of it, you look back at, like, those – like, Bobby Knight's players, Pat Summitt's players would lay down their lives for that coach.
Yeah, but Bobby Knight was a complete maniac. I mean, he had issue, you know, major league psychiatric issues. I mean, he was a borderline psychopath. I think it's unfair to compare, you know, I mean, Russ, he dropped trowel and popped a squat in the middle of the floor. I mean, that's like some antisocial type stuff. I mean, Trey, you just going to sit there? You want to back me up, or you going to take their side on it, buddy? Being awful quiet.
I think that Pat Summitt is a hard-nosed coach, that, and she was, and she got the best out of her players. And,
Trey, just say no. You don't want to get into it. You don't have to. You don't have to toe the company line here. If you don't want to jump into the minefield with us, you could sit this one out. That's okay.
God bless America. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, Russ, one of the few times I've ever heard you wholeheartedly agree with one of Westchester's whacked out takes, but I can't get past the whole putting a player's dog up for adoption. And that crosses so many different boundaries. You know, I know you're a cat person, Russ. You're not a dog person, but, you know, let somebody come and put my dog up for adoption, see what happens. You know, I'm not a cat lady like you are.
Pat Summitt, at the beginning of the year, this is how much she had control of every aspect of the players' lives. And obviously, this is before social media. She would demand that her players give her a list of 10 friends, 10 associates, complete with phone numbers, And those were the only 10 people that the players were allowed to associate with outside of the basketball program. And if she found out that one of her players was hanging out or dating somebody that wasn't on her pre-approved list at the beginning of the year, they were off the team. No questions asked. I mean, you don't think that's some psycho controlling crazy stuff?
Probably, but this is an unexpected turn of you trashing Hall of Fame legendary girls basketball coach Pat Head Summitt. I'm a little bit stunned and surprised. I mean, it's usually the kind of thing I'd do.
I'm not trashing her. I'm just saying that it's a thin line between psychotic obsessiveness and borderline criminal behavior. What do you think? Just be honest with me, Bear. What do you think Jeremy Pruitt's reaction would be if a player said, "Coach, I can't make it to practice today. I got to take my dog to the vet. He's got a bladder issue. It can't wait. It's an emergency."
I don't think it would be good, but I don't think that Pruitt's going to put the damn dog up for adoption. Okay?
No, he'd say, "Bring the dog to the facility and I'll put it down here."
Trey's right, and you know it, Bear. He would.
He does have a flat affect.
He would deliver the shot of whatever it is that you use to put a pet down. He would do it. "Bring me the syringe." That would be his
green
quote.
Shot.
Yeah, bring it on by here. I'll take care of your dog. Player shows up 2.5 hours later.
Hey, I'm not putting Coach Pruitt down, because the truth is Nick Saban would drown the puppy in a pillow sack if that's what he felt like. At least our coach is humane about it.
I feel like you guys are kind of taking up for the Texas Tech coach.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. We'll find out who's on the docket, brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Gibbons, coming up next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, it's time for the docket, brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Gibbons. Online, jrglawtn.com. The NCAA filing a petition, easy for me to say, earlier this morning, that asks the U.S. Supreme Court to press pause on allowing college athletes to receive an expanded number of education-related benefits. So this is not necessarily related to the name, image, likeness issue. This is a case that's been winding its way through the court system, dates back to a West Virginia running back, Sean Alston, filed the lawsuit originally back in 2014, and argued that schools should be allowed to spend an unlimited amount of money to provide their athletes with education-related items such as laptops, science equipment, instruments for music lessons, and potentially some monetary rewards for good grades. I think those are all fantastic ideas and a way to get players a bigger piece of the pie. I mean, how can you go to college these days without a decent laptop, an instrument for you want to take guitar lessons or something? They ought to give you a decent guitar and let you play that. And boy, I tell you what, they have all this APR stuff, and if your collective team's grades don't meet the correct APR thing, you don't get to go to a bowl game or the NCAA tournament, and that leads to, well, we got to get these walk-ons on the team to get our GPA up and get our APR up. I guarantee you, some of these dudes would be a lot more motivated to go to class if you said, listen, if you make the honor roll, 3.0, you make second honors, which was always my goal, most of the time out of reach. But if you make 3.0, you get, I don't know, what's a decent number, $1,000, $5,000, something like that at the end of the semester. You guys be taking a little more seriously, I'd imagine.
I mean, it'd be better than giving it to the coaches.
Yeah.
That's
you know,
what
Nick
I've never
Saban.
Understood.
Nick Saban needs another M-class, Bear. Nick Saban needs another M-class. You don't want to give it to the player. You can't give a guitar to the player. You can't put a carrot out in front of him to do the extra mile, go the extra mile in his science class, you know. We got to get Derek Mason a new pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's
elsewhere.
It's insane.
Hopkinton, Massachusetts. An early morning nude walk on Monday actually led to a fight with cops in Hopkinton police. A couple facing several charges, according to authorities. Police say they responded to calls of a naked couple walking their dog the street. Officers found Mariel Kinney and Kevin Pinto completely nude, walking down the street with a medium-sized black dog named Lucy. It was kind of wild, said Police Chief Joseph Bennett. It wasn't the typical day in Hopkinton, that's for sure. They were buck naked. When questioned if they were all right and why they were unclothed, Kinney and Pinto either said they didn't want to answer or answered incoherently, according to officers. During questioning, the couple yelled and swore at the officers, resisting any efforts of de-escalation. There was a short foot pursuit, Bennett said. People ran when they were told they were going to be arrested. They caught up with them at 6:30 in the morning. There was There's a violent struggle ensued. Pinto struck officers several times with the heel of his palm. One officer is taken to the local hospital, treated for minor injuries. He's since been released, is at home recovering. Police arrested the two, charged them with indecent exposure, assault and battery of a police officer, disturbing the peace, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. And if you're wondering, and I know you are,
yeah.
It's also added about Lucy, the dog that had been with them, that they had been walking. Quote, according to the officers, she is a very good dog.
I wonder what kind of wind velocity dude got when he was running.
I don't even know what to say to that, Trey Wallace.
What do you think, Bear? What kind of street drugs are these people on to be walking the dog naked at 6:30 in the morning?
They're rolling. Ecstasy. They probably were getting off on how the air, there's a breeze, you know. I was working a panic show, you know, back in the early 90s, and she was a hot chick. This girl was whacked out on that stuff, and she sat and had a handful of my sweatshirt on my sleeve and just sat there for almost the entire show just rubbing it. I would say it's ecstasy. People on that stuff do weird things, man. Weird. I've seen some of the weirdest stuff I've ever seen is people on that stuff.
It feels good to get your head rubbed during that, I've heard.
Okay.
I don't like it when people rub my head.
That is the docket brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens, the official lawyer of the drive, who sounds like Trey needs to write down his number in case of emergency here. Jerry's been practicing law here in East Tennessee since 2007. He's a UT College of Law grad, UT undergrad as well. He works in a variety of different laws. He's actually appeared in courts in over 80 counties in Tennessee, so he is volunteer state through and through. He's got a unique perspective on Tennessee courts, deals primarily in consumer law, debt collection, things like that. If you've got the debt collectors, those jerks after you, Jerry will help end the calls, get your life back to normal. Give him a free call at 865-801-9250. The consultation is free. The advice is free. So what do you have to lose? He also does family law. If you're going through a divorce, personal injury, he'll represent you in a criminal case. Trey, you might want to pay attention to that. Again, 865-801-9250, the number there, jrglawtn.com. That's jrglawtn.com for the law offices of Jerry R. Given.
That was 9250, last four digits.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Bear, the PGA starts tomorrow. You excited?
Yes, I am, Russell. Tiger Woods has been, I read an article earlier on my lunch break that Tiger Woods has been working towards concentrating everything on these upcoming three majors as he continues his quest towards topping the Golden Bear Jack Nicklaus's all-time record. How many behind is he now? Do you guys know? Like, is he still 15, four? Is it four or five?
Three. Or four. Yeah. The Masters last year was number 15 for Tiger.
Okay. Jack's got 18. So three, if he swept all three, which I don't think any of us think he's going to do that, but you know, it'd be pretty cool if he could pick up at least one.
Oh yeah. So, I think in his heart of hearts, if he could be guaranteed one more major this year, he would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and then you never know because they're still they're still playing. Yeah, I didn't realize that they had just moved the Masters. I thought they just canceled it. But you know that's a course that he could easily pick up another one at. So I mean, it's still
Masters
within reach.
The Masters is supposed to be happening the weekend of the Georgia game. Now they might completely redo the schedule, but as it stood, Tennessee was going to play at Georgia and Athens on Masters Saturday, if you can wrap your mind around that.
Oh,
I wouldn't want to be in, well, I mean, there's not going to be any fans at either one, so yeah.
I think it'd be kind of cool, man. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I love when the majors are on the West Coast and you can watch during prime time. I love night golf.
Wait a minute.
Looking forward to this. Yes, Trey.
That's really going to affect the SEC on CBS's coverage of that weekend.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow. Okay. That'd be crazy if if CBS decided to say, sorry, SEC, we're going to go with the Masters, or they just move up the primetime 2:30 game to 11 o'clock and have it over before Masters coverage starts later in the afternoon.
Well, they could do that. What I think would be more likely would be for them to do an 8 p.m. kickoff, assuming they're, you know, it's Saturday night, so assuming their Masters coverage and there's no rain or something, that they would wrap up. Surely they're, you know, they're not going to be playing
at 8 o'clock. Earlier.
Yeah, 8 o'clock in November, it's going to be pitch black outside, so they're not going to be playing golf by then. So maybe you schedule, and I'm sure that's something
Georgia, Tennessee, the SEC is taking
into account right now. So maybe it's a deal where you just go ahead and schedule LSU-Bama for that Saturday night at 8.
Oh, yeah. Man,
hey, Trey?
Yeah.
Trey, buddy, you do realize you live in the Eastern time zone now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this right. time zone.
You said 2:30 and 11.
Yeah, well, I said, whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this time zone's horrible. I hate this time zone. If I was president, I'd make the central time zone, you know, all around go to.
Is Mobile safe. Central time?
Yes. So is Nashville. I mean, yeah.
I'm the exact opposite. I feel like my entire system is off when I get outside the Eastern time zone.
No, it's awful. It gets dark in Nashville at like 4 o'clock during the winter. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but I'm a sports guy, so I'll take that compared to getting 10:30 start times on the West Coast, or, you know, I'd rather have a 2:30 time slot than a 3:30 time slot for a game.
No, buddy. The 3:30, beautiful.
No, I can't stand it. And then we were talking about schedules earlier. The SEC, I guess they're just going to sit on their hands. But tomorrow, the ACC is doing at 9 o'clock tomorrow on the ACC network, they are going to release the weekly schedule for the whole ACC football conference scheduled this season. So they're going to announce the who's going to be playing on what date and when all that's going down. They're going to do it on the network tomorrow. So
that's pretty cool.
You're up next, the SEC network. They better put something together tomorrow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, I hate it's at 9 o'clock in the morning, but
well, it's going to be a fun day here at Fan Run when they release the schedule. I mean, we'll just throw the whole COVID stuff out the door for a second and just geek out over the schedule. And I'm sure reality will come creeping back in at some point. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we got a big day tomorrow, anyways. I guess so. I hope it's Friday when they release it.
So who do we have tomorrow, Trey? We've got Vitello on in the 4 o'clock hour and Kim English.
Yeah, so we have Joe Rexrode at 3:25. Love Joe. And then at 4:25, Coach Tony V going to join us. He had some very strong comments last night in our text chain, and I'm sure he's going to air them tomorrow. He actually said he was looking forward to being able to have a platform to air some of my grievances. So that should be fun.
Ooh, an agitated Tony
Coach
Vitello.
Vitello? Oh.
Yeah. He's not
If he's agitated and he has grievances, this may be the time where you guys just need to let me. That's my specialty. Let me draw out of him what his grievances are.
Absolutely. And then at 5:05, we're going to have college basketball. Rick Barnes, assistant coach. Kim English is going to join us. Talk about the team. Talk about EPONS. Talk about how everything's going over there on campus at Pratt Pavilion. So looking forward to that. We've got a big show tomorrow.
Big show indeed. Should be fantastic. Let's get a big finish as we pause for the final time this afternoon. If you want to be on the drive, speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion coming up next. 865-546-8200 is your number. 546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this.
The Drive.
All right, wrapping up Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Louisville has temporarily suspended all team-related activities for the fall sports of men's and women's soccer, field hockey, and volleyball. Decision made after 29 members of the four teams tested positive for COVID-19, while multiple other teammates and student athletes from other sports were potentially exposed to the virus and remain in quarantine due to contact tracing. And evidently the exposure came, I know this is going to be a shock, guys, at a party off campus last week.
Yeah, you think that SEC coaches, Saban, Orgeron, Pruitt, Crazy Eyes, all of them, you don't think they've had talks about going to house parties?
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they will continue, and I'm sure the players, if given an opportunity, will go anyway.
Yeah, they're going to go. I'm sorry. Like Bromberg said, when these players, students report back August 9th, start moving in, I bet Fort Sanders is going to be a freaking COVID outbreak hotspot party I can't wait to attend myself.
Bear, can you imagine a 35-year-old Trey Wallace walking in to a party, a bunch of 20-year-olds?
Yeah, they'll think he's a narc.
Hey, who brought their dad to the party?
Look, I'll do it for the sake of journalism. I'll figure out which players are there. We're good.
You'll die of COVID. You'll bring COVID to Fan Run. What are you talking about, Trey? You ain't going to no college party in Fort Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, you're like the most susceptible person I've ever met in my life to any kind of respiratory stuff. Well, I mean, like, since I've known you, the wind blows. The next thing I know, you come in all crudded up.
I'm telling you, man, that's what happens. I used to have to get allergy shots 3 times a week. My stuff's all messed up. But, I could probably hang for an hour with college kids nowadays.
Let's bring in Roger to the festivities. We had to cut his call short yesterday, so we'll give him all the time in the world today. Hello, Rog. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Russell. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks for the phone call.
Well, sure. No problem. It's okay about yet. It's okay. I'm saying no problem. So no problem. I just wanted to talk to you, but no problem at all. It happens sometimes. So no problem at all. But I just wanted to. I just want to ask y'all a few questions. Because first, one I ask you is about the 10 games that y'all. I forgot if I did or not, but I can't remember if I did. But that's why I ask you. I didn't ask you. That's why I asked about the 10 games SC games that wrestle. I asked you first, Russell. You lost the ten games, the ten SC games, the ten point.
I do like it. I'll miss some of the non-conference matchups, but I love the more SEC games, and I think it's going to be very entertaining to see so many conference games. I think people are really going to like it. And here's the other thing, Raj. I think that people are going to like it so much that they're going to want to see it regularly. So what I hope happens, and we had a caller, you know, ask about this earlier in the show, like what does college football look like when we do finally, quote unquote, get back to normal? I would like to see the SEC and other leagues go 10 conference games every year with 2 non-conference games. And one of those non-conference games has to be against another Power 5 opponent, an Oklahoma, Michigan, Texas, something like that. And then the other non-conference game has to be against a group of 5 team, an ETSU, or they wouldn't be group of 5, but an MTSU, excuse me, and or a Memphis or something like that.
Yeah, I hear you. And Bear, how about you, Bear? You like the schedule? That's not the 10 games, Bear. You like that?
Rods, I would. Okay. What I would really like is if college football, if they returned everyone to their original conference, expand the playoff to 16 teams, and we'd have a 10-team SEC conference, and we'd play everybody in the SEC, and then one cupcake and 2 stout out of conference. I want the Southwestern Conference back. I want everybody back where they belong. Bring back the Big East. Return it back to how it should be.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. I'd be with him, Bear. You know, I'm not sure. Not sure about that. I'm not really sure about it. I'm not all in law about that. But I'm not, it'd be interesting, though. You know, I'd be interesting, I think. So, but. Trey, how about you, Trey? You left the 10-game, Trey? The 10 games, Trey?
Yeah, I like it, man. Rods, I think it's going to work out well, and hopefully they can figure out all the days to get it in and have enough time. But I like it, buddy.
Okay, and also, Russell, I just want to ask you quick. I know the kids are coming out either tomorrow or Friday. I just want to ask you if he was in charge of the SC. The kids, how would you, I don't know if you can tell me or not, I'd be hard to notice, but as far as the games, if you was in charge, who would you, is the Tennessee, who would you want to play first in this coming season in the fall? If he was getting that at it, I mean, Russell, for the kids, who would you want to play first, Russell?
You know, I would like to play, Raj, I would like to play one of the big boys, one of the big road games. If we have to play LSU, I think I'd rather just go ahead and play them. I know it'd be hot in Baton Rouge, but it's hot up here. It's been a hot summer. Go down there and play them when they're breaking in a new quarterback, 2 new coordinators, and no fans to make that a hostile environment. If we got to play them, I'd rather just open up the season with them, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens with the schedule. I'd be curious to see what they do. You know it. What's that? Schedule.
No doubt. But Raj, appreciate the phone call, man.
All right. Bye bye. See you. Bye bye.
Buddy. Big Raj making his presence felt. Bear, are we good here? I think Bear's left the building. Trey, are we good here?
Yeah, buddy.
I'm good, bro. Sorry, I'm on mute. Love you, boys. See you tomorrow.
All right. Big thanks to John, not that Fulkerson, and Drew back in the Fan Run studios. We'll be back tomorrow. Overtime up next.
The Drive.